Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 10. The message I'd like to share with you today is directed to our graduates, yet it's applicable to each one of us as believers today, regardless of your GPA, your college destination, or your ultimate career path, your experience, or whatever else you want to throw in the bucket. True success is within your grasp. But it does not come by natural talents or temperament, not even training or present circumstances. It's not even determined by the amount of hard work you put in, though very important. But the key to achieving success, I believe, in God's eyes, comes through our character of who we are. It's been said that your testimony is what other people think you are, but your character is what God knows you to be. It is what you truly are on the inside, and your character will affect your testimony. Having a great character involves many things, but including three abilities that I want to speak to you about this morning. I've entitled the message, Three Great Abilities. Father, I ask that you right now cause our attention to be turned directly to your word. Help us not to be distracted with anything else that's around us or on our minds, in our past or in our future. Father, that we would right now in this present concentrate upon your word and what you have through your spirit for our hearts. Help me to be able to share very clearly the truth that you've laid upon my heart. And Father, may it be that which challenges us today to be able to live and please you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ability is the first of these abilities. There is availability, actually. Availability has been said is the greatest ability of all, being available to others. Yet all three of these abilities are going to be seen as essential. Availability primarily speaks of willingness. You have a willingness to be accessible to other people. You have a willingness to be used for other people. Willingness to be is exemplified here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you would agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest man that has ever lived, God-man. He is the one that has taught so many. He is the one that was pursued by so many there. But here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, we read there, but when Jesus saw it, and that is when these little children started coming up to him there and the disciples wanted to shoo him away, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer or permit or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And Jesus knew and understood that these little children were going to be the next Christians to build up the church. These children were going to be some of the next leaders that would be in that church. And we have the same potential when we look out amongst our congregation here. I praise the Lord for when we have our children's church march out of here, and I stand there in awe each Sunday and see the number of our children that go into their class there. I think that's wonderful. There are too many churches today that have only old people in them, and the older I get, the sadder I think that is. We need to make sure that we maintain the teaching and the encouragement of our youth, for they are the future church. As long as the Lord tarries from coming back into this world, we need strong believers that are being raised and mentored within the church to come up and to lead in the future generations to come. And so it is important there that we reach out to them as well. I think Jesus would be very pleased to see the number of young people that we have here. You know, just having them is not enough. We've got to be actively training and teaching them. Not just our opinions, they are not worth anything, but the truth of God's word, that's what endures. And so we want to impress that upon them and to see them to grow. But Jesus was accessible even to these little children. If you flip over a few pages back there to chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, We'll read here concerning Jesus and his disciples, and it says there in verse 31 of chapter 6, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while." And they had been ministering for some time. They had not even had opportunity to stop and eat. And here they were getting tired, and they needed to come apart lest they fall apart, so to speak. And so Jesus said, let's go rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so as much as to eat there. And they departed unto a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out of the boat there, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is there, tired himself. He is one that has been giving of himself tirelessly unto them, teaching his disciples and teaching then the people. And so they go and they think they're going to go and get some rest there. And here when they get out, all the people have just swarmed over to where they're going to be going. And Jesus sees them and has compassion, and he wants to give himself further. So could I say by exampleship here, we see the Lord Jesus Christ willing to be accessed by the people. He was available unto them. Willingness to be accessed, to be approached by those with needs is one of the great characteristics of availability. The second one is willingness to be used, availability. Can you imagine how it would have affected the world of art if Michelangelo had said, I don't do ceilings? You know, sometimes we've got to climb a few scaffolds of difficult tasks to make ourselves available like we should be. Being accessible to other people is not always easy. Sometimes it comes at the most inappropriate times in our imagination. Sometimes it comes when we are in a hurry and when we don't think we have time to do. And yet it's that willingness to be used, to be accessible, availability that is there. For us to properly serve, it sometimes takes sacrifice of some of the things that we wanted. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, there's a great example there that you remember. Here Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the glory of the Lord there. And through that he realized his own sin. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. After he had confessed his sin, God had forgiven him. Then God spoke there and he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. You know, God asked the question there, who will meet this need? And Isaiah responded there, here am I, send me, availability, use me. Vicki gave a testimony a little bit concerning a prayer request for Brother Sam Jewell, a pastor down in Florida. He called kind of down this past week. He's had cancer. He's gotten over that a little bit to get a reprieve. But there have been quite a few families in the church that have had to move away into other states and so forth, and he's lost some key leaders that are there. And it seems like the people that come into the church new all have the mentality is, what is there here for me? Instead of, what can I do to serve? And it's that mentality to say, I am here, I am willing, I am available, how can I help? That is so needful. I praise the Lord that we have many within our church that are actively serving in many different ways. Now, that is such a great testimony to have. But we have a responsibility to say, Lord, you have put me in this church for a reason. I have a spiritual gift, at least one, and I know that you want me to use it and exercise it in some way here actively. Show me, and I will be willing to be available to be used. Availability is what we need. Are you available this morning? Secondly, there is reliability that is seen. Reliability has to do with faithfulness. It also has to do with responsibility. First of all, considering faithfulness there, Faithfulness throughout Scripture is greatly stressed, the importance of it and our need of it. God's example of it is one who is His greatest, His faithfulness, we're told, and His mercies endureth forever. God is a great example there to us, and He gave us a great principle in Scripture. And it's found in Luke chapter 16 in verse 10 that says, "He that is faithful in that which is least." Could I say it this way? "He that is reliable in that which is little is also faithful in much." In other words, if God has given you opportunity and you're ministering in some way, but it's just a small amount, but you take that small amount of what God has allowed you to minister in this way and you pour yourself into it and you are faithful, you are reliable, you're accountable there in such a great way, God then may also give you opportunity and more to do. But if you think that because it's just a little task, you don't have to give yourself, then understand God says that He knows your heart, that even if it was a big task, you still would not give yourself to it fully. You may try to disagree, but God says He knows the heart. And the principle is true. If you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. But the verse goes on to say there that if we're not faithful in the little, if we're unjust, if we're unreliable in the least, we're unjust also in the much. The same thing is true even with tithing. Some people say, "But if I had a large income, I would be able to give a tithe unto the Lord. I just can't do it now." And I tell you, if you can't do it now, you won't do it then, God says. It's the heart that gives. And so it is there that says, I am willingness, I have a availability, a reliability there, faithfulness unto the Lord there, and whatever He gives me to do. Put yourself in that job and be reliable. And if you do that, the doors of opportunity will open up. When people see that you're faithful, that you're reliable, they will be looking to give you responsibility. They will be looking to promote you into those positions. We need to be reliable. We need to be faithful. Reliability is also connected with responsibility. How you handle it or how you don't. A little over three years ago, my dad passed away. And I was up in the hospital just a couple of weeks before he passed. And I think he knew that his time was coming to an end. But in the hospital, my mom was there and I was there. There was a physical therapist that came in. And she wanted to work with my dad about getting a little stool up there, getting his foot up, and showing him how he could put on his own shoes and tie his shoes. And Dad said, "I don't need to do that." And she said, "Mr. Black, well, sure you do. You need to be able to tie your shoes." And he says, "I don't need to do that." And she said, "Well, why?" And he looked at my mom and he says, "Because she'll do it for me." I said, "Whoa, Dad." Like I say, I think he knew that it wasn't going to be long. But in the same light, there's another story I came across here. And is a little girl that had been trying for months to learn how to tie her own shoes. And she finally grasped the knack of it and was able to do it by herself. Her parents expected that the child would be delighted, but were surprised by her disappointment. Her father asked her why she was crying, and she sobbed, "I just learned how to tie my shoes." He said, "Well, that's wonderful, honey, but why are you crying?" And she replied, "Because now I'll have to do it by myself for the rest of my life." Responsibility. We have a lot of things. The older we get, the more we become responsible for. And being reliable in those things for which we are responsible is so important. Remember that we have responsibility that God holds us accountable to, and we need to be found in His sight as being reliable as well. 1 Samuel 17, there's an account that's given there of King David while he was just a young teenager probably. You know, the shepherd boy that came to the war and there saw a great giant standing out there, Goliath. From a shepherd to a soldier, he went. from the keeper of sheep to the king of Israel. And it wasn't because of any great thing that he had of himself, but it was that he relied upon the Lord.
Amen.
And for us to be reliable in God's eyes, we need to be leaning upon Him.
Amen.
We need to be looking to Him for the strength that we need to accomplish those things that He has called us to do. David faithfully handled seemingly small responsibilities as a shepherd, but God was preparing him for greater responsibilities to come. Are you reliable, believer? Are you reliable, graduate? In God's eyes, faithful, responsible. Availability, reliability, and the last ability, accountability. Accountability has to do with answering to one who has authority over you and evaluates your life, whether it's actions, whether it's your attitudes. First, we are accountable to our parents. As young people, you're accountable to your parents. I am accountable to my mom still. I'm old enough to think I wouldn't have to do that, but I do so willingly to seek to please her and to minister to her and to be the son that I should be to her. We're told in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, do what? Obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. The promise is there that God's blessing would come and even extended life if you do that. There is accountability to parents. But now there's a new accountability that you may find. Graduates, maybe a professor that you're accountable to, maybe a supervisor that you're accountable to. Many of you out here in the same situations where you have other people that you're accountable to, how are you in your accountability to those that God has allowed you to be placed under? Are you seeking to please God by seeking to be accountable to them properly? Accountability. Also, we're accountable to our spiritual leaders. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, there are a couple of verses right there that I think are very important to understand. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle," etc. And then in verse 17, it goes on to speak of them again. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Do you know that as a pastor, as Sunday school teachers, as youth leaders, etc., that you have a responsibility to be accountable to us? Because we are accountable for you. And so there is a working that is there in which you are to seek to follow those things that you are being rightly taught and to be obedient unto those things. And that I one day will have to give an account for what I have done on my part to teach you and to lead you, and as so as our Sunday school teachers and our youth leaders. It all goes around in that circle. But accountability is the key. Also, we are all accountable to God. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Every one of us as believers, he's talking about, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of what we have done with our life since salvation. Now, he's not going to be judging us about sin that was taking place on the cross. He's not judging us to see whether we're going to heaven or not. That was taken care of at salvation. When I got saved, I got accepted into the family of God. I'm a child of God, and nothing can change that.
Amen.
But when I waste my time as a believer and I squander the opportunities that I have, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to have much to give an account of in a good way. But I'm going to have to give an account for the wasted times. I'm going to have to give an account for what I didn't do or what I did for the wrong motives, etc. There's so much that can be wasted, but we must all give an account. When Donald and Simi Goodwin took their four-year-old grandson camping, they got a basic theology lesson as well. A bad thunderstorm came up while they were camping at Lake Superior. The little guy was fascinated by the flashes of whitening, he called it. He watched the sky light up for several minutes, then gave his brief commentary on the situation. "Look," he said, "Jesus is taking my picture." You know, every time we see lightning, it ought to remind us of that God sees and knows everything that goes on with us. It's kind of like God taking our picture right there. We're going to have to give an account of what we've done or not done to the glory of God. On a more serious tone, you'll probably know Daniel Webster. I think about everybody grew up with Webster's Dictionary, now online. The great American statesman, who was considered by many to be the brightest man of his generation, was once asked, "What is the greatest thought you have ever contemplated?" He replied, "The greatest thought I've ever had and the most important thing that I've ever learned is that I am personally accountable to the God of all creation." What a thought. What a thought. With that in mind, I want to bring your attention to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. I'm not going to read it all there, but this is the parable of the talents. It speaks of a rich man there that had three employees. And as the rich man was going to travel away, he gave to these three employees talents there, not talking about abilities, but most likely money. And to one he gave five talents, to another he gave two talents, to one he gave one talent, and he took his trip. Now these talents, let's say that the five was $50,000, to the two was $20,000, and the one was $10,000. They were to use what they had been given wisely. He returned, and he met with each one of his employees, and they gave an account of what they had done. That's the accountability there. And you remember how that the first one that had $50,000, he used his money there and gained an additional $50,000. And here, this man said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The one that had been given $20,000 had used his money and had gained another $20,000. And the man, the rich man, said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The same reward. But the third one had taken the $10,000 that he had been given, and he didn't do anything with it. And when the good man there came back and brought him to accountability, he said unto him, "Thou wicked and lazy servant." Now the point that I want you to get is this. It's not how much each one of them gained or did not gain, but it was what did they do with what they had been given. It doesn't matter whether he gave them $50,000 or $10,000. If they would have done with what they got given, the same reward would have been stated, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it doesn't matter whether you have been given opportunities to affect people on a large scale, or whether you have one child at home. It doesn't matter whether you have been given the responsibility of teaching classes, or whether you're working in a nursery. Whatever God has given you as the opportunities that you have, if you will be faithful with what God has given you, the reward is there. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So don't get bent out of a shape about what you have or don't have, but take what God has given you and use it faithfully for Him. That is the greatest blessing in accountability.
All of us have different potential. But God is looking for us to use what He has given us for His glory. And the outcome you'll be pleased with. So how are you when you come to these abilities? Graduate? Christian? Are you available for God to use you and for others to approach you? Are you reliable even in the midst of smallest of responsibilities? I remind you that you are accountable. Will you hear, "Well done," or "You wicked, lazy servant"? You know, the choice is yours. Billy Graham once said that the greatest power God has given us is the power of choice. What will your choice be today? You can be available. You can be reliable. And you are accountable. If you'll make the right choice, you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Every head bow, please.